The following is an AZPM original production.
Arizona Science is supported by Research Corporation for Science Advancement.
For Arizona Public Media, I'm Tim Swindle, Professor Emeritus of Planetary Science at the University of Arizona, and this is Arizona Science. Joining me today is Angela Maruziak, an Assistant Research Professor in the University's Lunar and Planetary Laboratory. Welcome, Angela.
Thanks.
Angela, you're part of a team that's just won a contract from NASA to build two seismometers to be flown to the moon. On Earth, the biggest earthquakes seismometers record come from plate tectonics, but the moon doesn't have plate tectonics, so what's the source of the moonquakes you'll be looking for?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So there's actually a lot of different sources they could come from. The most numerous type of events that we saw during Apollo were called thermal moonquakes. As the name suggests, they're from thermal changes on the moon's surface. So it goes from really hot to really cold, which can affect a lot of things and cause some cracking. So these events are pretty small. You know, they're not going to be particularly hazardous, but yeah, thousands of these can occur between the lunar day and night. We also expect deep moonquakes. So again, as the name suggests, they're pretty deep down in the moon. So much like the moon causes tides on Earth, we influence the moon. So over a tidal cycle, we will actually generate deep moonquakes that we can record on the surface. There's also the possibility we can record events from impacts. So stuff like meteorites hitting the surface of the moon is something that we could record. And then the last type of event we expect to see are shallow events.
What do you hope to learn about the moon that we don't know at the moment?
I think Apollo laid a lot of great groundwork, but there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. So for example, Apollo, when they landed on the moon, they were all on the near side and fairly close to the equator. So we essentially have a big blind spot of what's going on the far side of the moon. Now, Artemis is going to be landing at the South Pole, which is really exciting because it opens up a whole new area of the moon that we can study and look at.
When is your instrument scheduled to fly?
The current launch date is set for September 2026.
And will there be astronauts who will be emplacing these?
Yes, it's really exciting. So this will be the first time that humans have stepped foot on the moon in about 50 years since Apollo left. So what's really also exciting for me as a woman is there's a pretty good chance that the first woman to step foot on the moon will be the one installing our instruments.
How long did it take to develop a seismometer concept that NASA was willing to fund?
So we started working, and by we, I mean the folks here at the Lunar and Planetary Lab at University of Arizona. We started working on developing these seismometers for planetary exploration almost 10 years ago. And we've done a lot of development and testing in like polar regions and running things in the lab. So it does take quite a bit of time, but we think we're ready to go. And I guess NASA agrees with us.
How does building and operating a seismometer on the moon compare to building something that you would use on Earth?
The actual mechanisms are really not that different. It's just the noise environment that is. So we don't have plate tectonics on the moon. We also don't have oceans and atmosphere. And for Earth-based seismometers, the big source of noise is actually the oceans. And it doesn't matter where you are on Earth, the oceans always create background noise. We don't have that on the moon. We also aren't going to have plate tectonics with thousands of events happening over a short period of time. So it's going to be much, much quieter. So our instruments have to be very sensitive in order to pick up all the possible little events that are occurring.
How did you get started working on seismometers for other planets?
It started when I was a grad student at the University of Maryland. At the time, there was a mission called InSight, which was heading to Mars. And I was fortunate enough to have an advisor who was part of the team and brought me on. And then about halfway through my PhD, he talked to me and was like, hey, there's this new project where we want to send seismometers to icy ocean worlds and develop different types of seismometers to fly. And I thought, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, maybe I'll get involved with that. And now, 6 years later, at University of Arizona, working on essentially the same project, and we're getting ready to fly, and it's absolutely incredible.
Well, best of luck on it.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking with us, Angela. Our guest today has been Angela Maruziak, part of a team that is building seismometers to fly to the moon. This is Tim Swindle, and you have been listening to Arizona Science. You can also listen to this and other Arizona Science segments by going to the AZPM website at azpm.org.
Thank you to Research Corporation for Science Advancement for their support of Arizona Science. AZPM podcasts are made possible in part by donations from listeners like you. Learn more at support.azpm.org. Thank you.